This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast.
Sean Murphy to John Murphy. This is Connor Lawler. This could be the icing on the cake. Second goal for Carlo, and surely now they're into the Leinster semi-final.
At the end of the day, you ask players to do a job, and no matter what we do, say, we can be called great lads now, and we have the team moving. We haven't them moving, it's the players that do it. We can't train.
Carlo have restarted quickly. Long ball sent into that inside forward line. Oh, and it's broken for James Doyle. Goal chance for Carlo, and they've taken it.
Benny, it's 2 weeks since that disappointing defeat to Rathbilly. Have you partied yet, or do you still think about it?
Still think about. Difficult one to take. Just the way we kind of finished off our year, just the timing of it. It's not often that a rogue we're not out of championship at this stage. We're usually contesting semi-finals, and over the last five years, we have been in the final. It's just something you're not used to, being out of championship so early, and it's still a bit of a pill to swallow, It's just things didn't happen for us on the day, really,
You were 6 points up, I think, and yes, what was it, your only score, what was it, 198 points, was it?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Errol Dunn usually only scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, it's something that kind of, We have over the years been known to score a lot of goals, and create goal chances. And for some reason, we haven't been creating goal chances this year. But a lot of teams just setting up against us defensively, playing 14, 15 men behind the ball. And it's difficult for to break down a blanket defence like that and create goal chances. So it's just something that we probably hadn't got enough time to work on. Considering the way teams were setting up, you're thinking on your feet on the day, and it's a poor return to score 3 points in the second half in the championship match. Yeah.
If you had said before the game that you'd hold that Philly, so what you did hold them to, you were going to win the game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because any time between ourselves and that Philly, it's always a tight game. Holding them to that scoreline, you think if you scored enough that you would, enough points and maybe get a goal in there, outscore them. It was 4-1, and we wouldn't say we were going well, but we were kind of in control of the game. And we went down the field with a play, and it was just someone meant to pass it across, and it was broke down, and they went down and got a goal, and kind of swung the momentum in their favour. But we would say to ourselves, in the second half, we had a great goal chance, and if we'd have scored that, we probably would have took the foothold in the game, and maybe we could have kicked on from that. So it was just, in big games like that, especially playing ourselves and Rafinha, it's the little inches that,
And funny enough, Sean Galloway was the fellow who had that goal chance, and he had won against Ibisol in the previous game. And Errol doesn't know Sean Gallagher anything, but if those two goals were going, you could have had you could have 100% record in the championship.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. You have to take your chances in games like that. The first couple of games early in the championship, like Bagginstown and Tinray, both games, in the first game we were down to 13 men, with 5 minutes to go, we were up by 5 points. We end up drawing the game in control. Same against Tin Ryland, controlling the game, but I think it was 6-7-1, and just let them back into the game. So it's probably something that, we were taking our foot off the gas,
Was it,
yeah.
Any reason why, usually our own teams are ruthless, they turn the screw when they get you.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been known for, and never giving up. If we are being beaten, we don't lie down, but it just, whatever it was, over the last few years, we would just, if we were 4 or 5 pints up, we would would see the game out like. And it's just, you know, obviously, you know, because we're in a bit of a transition too, like, you know, we were down a lot of experienced players this year.
Yeah, come to that now in a minute.
You know,
And like, funny enough, you go back to when you were looking for the five in a row, and that was disappointing as well. But that was the day that possibly Radvili, you didn't get it right in defence, and you concealed the goals at vital times. But this time you got everything right in defence. So you'd have to say, apart from the concession and the goal, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just just going back to the five in a row, like, you know, it was an incredible achievement to win four championships out of five, and contesting like five or six finals in a row. But just on the day in the five, you know, in the five in a row, you know, because of COVID, we had the two championships in the 1 year. We only played them 6 weeks previous, and they probably learnt more from that day than we probably did, because, you know, we came out on the day doing what we know, when we probably should have changed it a small bit. But they're just the little things, like, you know, that you know, they probably saw in something in the fourth final, you know, that they changed and tweaked it a bit in the five in a row, like, you know. And that was a difficult one to take, like, you know what I mean? So,
without a doubt. And funny enough, you kind of hit the nail on the head without saying it. Sometimes you learn a little bit more in defeat than you learn in winning a game.
It's funny, you know, you never take it as a loss. You always take it that, you know, you want to learn something, you know, from every game you go out in, like, you know. But if you keep making, like this year, we were learning from what we were doing is going on, but we kept making the same mistakes, and that's what undone us.
And if you go back to the very first final that you won, I remember that day. I think it was Brian Murphy who had a chance to put you to bed.
That's right.
The game would have been over. I think I can't remember. Did he hit the post or did?
It was a drop shot.
It dropped short, he came down the pitch. I think Sean Gannon got a point, and then Cormac Mullins got a point or something.
Cormac got the point.
And there was an awful lot of people said that day that the game, as far as everybody was concerned, a rogue got out of jail and Radvili weren't going to get a second chance.
Yeah.
Now, you can never say that against Radvili, because Radvili they have a rogue's number from time to time. But that's exactly what happened. He went on to do four in a row. If you had lost that day, Brian put that point over the bar.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Exactly. It could have been a different story. And they're the small little things. Yeah. You know, as I said, I'll go back to it. They're all referee. It's a tight game. It's never, you know, when it comes down to a championship battle, it's always a tight game. There's never much in it. And, like, we went on, you know, Cormac kicked that point to equalise. We went on to win the replay. And went on and won four in a row. They got to a Leinster final, so that was a huge period for us. Yeah. And you know, and they obviously came back and got us in the five in a row, like, you know.
Yeah. That Leinster final, I remember you talking to you after that game. I think that was about the time that you retired from the county football.
It was 2019, so it would have 2018.
And I suppose the hope was that you were going to go on with the club, put the whole effort into the club, and to win a Leinster final. It hasn't happened. Is it something that you look back now with?
Yeah, well, to look, there's still that was like that day losing in the Leinster final. Like, you know, we went the hard route about, you know, we played a Kildare champions, the Leash champions, played Dublin champions, you know, and that stood to us, like, going into the final. And it was just, we got undone by two smashing pints, like, from them, like, you know. But they just had the quality off the bench, and, you know, we probably had put more in our legs, you know, in our bigger players, and probably caught us just right at the very end, like, the last couple of minutes. But I think if COVID hadn't happened, you know, I'm not saying, but we probably would have went on, because obviously the championship was cancelled then. The 2020 championship was cancelled.
Your impetus was taken from you, I suppose. It was a different form of championship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you see, the lads had longer, so it was nearly like a year and a half season for one season. Like, but I just felt that we were, after losing that, we were primed and ready to go back, and go again for another run at Leinster, you know, that group of players. And it was just the mentality we had. And then obviously COVID hit and the football stopped, and it didn't start again, obviously, till 2021. And we played two championships in that year, like, you know.
Yeah. Pat Ryan, the Rathfield manager, told me after they'd been beaten in that fourth final at G1, he was disappointed, but he promised me that those young fellas would be back. And of course, when he did win, he told me about it, he reminded me what he had told me. And I suppose, look, he was giving himself a small bit of a congratulations, a little pat on the back. But Rathfilly do have some exceptional players. Now, we were always looking at Brian Murphy, Brendan Murphy, Ed Finnegan, Alan Kelly, but now they have this Pádraig Dearing, they have Darragh Curran, they have Josh Moore, and now Brandon Kelly has come into the picture as well. So they're obviously doing something very right over there as well, aren't they?
I suppose, yeah. And like all the teams are coming up to, I suppose, the level we were at there for 4 or 5 years, you know, we were kind of putting a lot of teams in the championship, you know, kind of to the sword, like we were beating them by 10 and 12 points, like, you know, so a lot of the teams are, you know, even Palatine are, you know, they're getting better, probably just took her foot off the gas a small bit, like, so it's
yeah. And of course it coincided with the time that a lot of young players decided they were going to take some time off from football after losing the 5 in a row. There's all rules. I still see a bit of stuff coming in from Instagram. Is he still in Chile? Or
I know, yeah, he's obviously done.
Ross Dunphy was away, Jordan Morrissey was only coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Who else has gone? Mark Walsh.
Oh, there was loads.
Mark
Fitzgerald. Calvin Chatton, Paul McGilligan. Like, we were just, the problem this year with us was we were crippled with injuries. Like,
yeah,
you know, and experience. Like, last obviously Roman and Ross Dunphy went travelling. Like, you know, you're talking about 6-7 experienced players going out with that team from the 20 or from the 5 in a row final. Like, you know. Saying Fitzy, Chatton, McGilligan, Marshall coming back from the injury.
Of course, yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, things didn't happen for us this year through injury, like, you know. Yeah. And a lot of the lads are probably, you know, on the go a long time, like, too, just, you know, probably the lads travelling just wanted to step away, like, just enjoy it.
Yeah. I still felt that, how would I put it, that there were some fellas in that match against Rathfilly that they just hadn't got it on the day. They didn't seem to want to have it on the day. Is that a fair comment? Is that a fair observation for you who's on the pitch with those fellas?
I wouldn't think so. It's not a matter of them not wanting. It's just that sometimes when you're in a game like that, in a championship game, and you know, you've got the best intentions of making it happen and making it happen. And the harder you try to make something happen, it just seems to go against you. And, you know, every one of those lads out there on the day, you know, probably more disappointed the way we finished out the game. Okay. Because usually we'd go down the back. If you look at the 27 county finals we spoke a few minutes ago about, we got the last score of the game. We never gave up. We kept fighting. And I speak to different lads around the county, and they always say about Airogan, they probably say quality to themselves, but you hear these things back that Airogan never beaten. And it was probably that bit of mentality, you know, just gone when we lost that for you know, you want to go out battling and not be losing, like, you know, just conceding a couple of scores at the end.
Okay. Have you looked at any of the other teams in the championship, or have you just seen the
See the teams you're playing, and that's generally the way I always done it. Like, you know what I mean? I seen the Rafferty and Rangers game, or Rangers beat them. I just happened to see the second half, but that's the only game I seen probably most of the year. Like, you know,
You're not a man who goes to games if you're not playing, or is that a fair observation?
Yeah, it probably is. Probably blinker just towards Airog, you know. Games and that's it, and what I'm involved in, like, you know, don't tend to go to too many games that we're not involved in. Like,
have Tinrail surprised you this year, unbeaten in the championship, they're in the semi final?
They're probably, you know, because we played them you know, last year in the championship as well, and the same style of football they played that day, they played against us this year. So look, they're probably there on, they probably deserve to be in this semi-final, not losing a game, because usually when you don't lose any group games, you know, you're going to be in the semi-final anyway, like, you know, but they're probably, you know, deserve to be there.
Yeah, what do you think of the form of the championship? Three games, if you win one game, you're generally into at least a quarter final. Well, you are in a quarter final unless something happens.
It's a mixed one. Like, it's just sometimes, like, you could lose two games and draw one and still maybe make a quarter or something like that, which is kind of, you know, you're getting two or three bites at it, like, you know, kind of. So it's kind of a format maybe that probably should be looked at or should be changed, but then again, we don't probably have the teams to do it, like, you know.
Yeah, there's eight teams there now. They're competitive enough, like, you know. I know you beat Ballinabrana by a cricket score that day, and I thought Ballinabrana that day, when they came out, they looked like a team who wanted to take me on, but you destroyed them that day. So I would say Ballinabrana were the only team in the senior championship, and if there's anybody listening to this from Ballinabrana, I hope they're not offended, but they were the only team that probably wasn't up to the standard above them. Like, all the other four teams, the three teams in your group, I would say that if they were never playing each other again, they could beat each other again.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, yeah. there's nothing between all the teams that, you know, the six or seven teams there that you mentioned. And I suppose the problem is when you're up and down from intermediate to senior, you're, you know, like Little Cabagnestown, they've maintained their status for, it's 2 or 3 years probably.
Yeah, they've come now, and they're a team that's hard to beat.
So they know how to stay at that level, like, you know. And the same, you know, if you're just going up and down every year, it's probably hard to get to that level and stay at that level, like, you know.
Yeah. So what would you do with it? Would you have eight in the group and eight-one and play seven matches?
Probably
four and seven.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. It's just, again, it's not something that I put too much thought into, like, you know, because
well, you don't have to put any thought into it, really.
Well, that's it, like, you know. But it probably is a fair thing to not be, you know, having a knockout championship that you get, you know, because when you turn up on the first day, you don't know, things might go your way, you get another shot at, but, you know, it should be just maybe, you know, you lose one, maybe your next game should be you win, like, you know, and all the way through. But
yeah, by the time a lot of people listen to this podcast now, they'll know the answer to the question. But Radvili have taken on Palatine now tomorrow night. That's what's Friday here, tomorrow night, to take on Palatine. Will they improve from the game against Airog?
I'd imagine there would be, like, it's that time of year, I suppose. They're a bit like ourselves, like, when it gets to this time of year, you're in a semi-final, a final. You know how to get over the line, like, you know, and I think you probably have a bit more, when I say experience, of being just at this stage in a late championship. Like, I know it's a semi-final, and Pal probably have, you know, been in semi-finals, but Rafinha would probably be fancying themselves there, like.
Yeah. And just to change the subject, you're a man, I'm comfortable talking to you about it, because you're so steady on the ball, and you rarely make mistakes, you rarely give the ball away. But the possession football has come into Gaelic football at the moment, and it's coming in for a lot of criticism. And some of the games are very pedestrian, like, and Airog will fall, Tinroyal will fall. There isn't a team in the county that hasn't sort of played the 15 man or the blanket defence, whichever it is, and you rarely see teams driving forward in attack. Mind you, Mulgrew Rangers did it last week, but it's the short kickouts. Dean Grennan last week, I think he really drove every ball out to halfway and said, right, let's take our chances out there. But teams are looking for the possession. They're playing the possession game. How many balls have you taken for Robbie Moore this year?
Yeah.
In the short, and you've been from the back. Is that the way forward, or it's the wrong question. It's not really the way forward, but how would you counter how do you counter the blanket defence or the team that's coming forward slowly and methodically?
They tried to bring in obviously they brought in the mark, you know, to call out the blanket defence, because, you know, if it was a high field, you know, catch a long ball in, you have a free shot at the goal. But I wouldn't be in favour of the mark, because some marks can be just a deflect, you know, maybe just kicked in and drops, you know, from the field, and he just, you know, it just, but it's
Well, you got a good example of the mark last year, Brian Murphy, in that county final. First minute of the game, he goes up, he calls for a mark, he gets the ball, calls for the mark, and the next minute he sticks the ball in the back of the net. I thought that was unfair.
Yeah, well,
because everybody stops, he's called for a mark, the whistle goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right off, the rules say he can take a quick free and bury it in the back of the net, which is what he did do.
Yeah, he played on, didn't he? He played on and ran in and put it in the back.
Or I think that if you're putting your hand up for the mark, that's you're stopping play.
Yeah.
When the whistle goes, but obviously that's
that's what the rules say. But
does it?
I think so anyway.
Yeah,
it's such a grey area. You don't know, and that's why a lot of lads, when you see a ball coming in, they just really play on, like, you know. But I suppose if you put your hand up and ref goes the whistle, that should be your man.
Automatically.
And that's what
for
happened.
For years you've been.
That's what happened with us.
Yeah.
On the day, like, everyone just stopped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they punished us in the first few seconds, like, you know. But it should have been a mark, a free game, probably.
Yeah, but the trouble is, I'm not sure of the rule either.
I don't know myself.
And I've had so many people talking about that's right, that's wrong, that's right. Yeah. And same with the black card.
Yeah.
The black card, what is a black card? Is it when...
As far as I'm aware, it's when you drag someone to the ground.
But some people will say, no, it's a cynical foul whether you drag them to the ground or not.
Yeah. It's such a tricky...
But you have to hit the ground to get the black card. Black card to be given.
It's a grey area, like, with inconsistency is probably the big thing there.
Maybe the two of us should go home and read the rules. And the black card in the middle of the field, it's as rare as hen's feet. Not the black card, the mark.
Yeah.
In the middle of the field, it's as rare as hen's teeth, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Because it's a lot of the stuff, it's just breaks down, like, you know, it doesn't really happen. Probably something should be looked at anyway. Yeah. To change again.
And of course, going back then to the short kick out, I don't think Shane, I hope he doesn't make the mention of Shane, but I don't think he was looking at Robbie Moore for one of the ones.
Yeah, he was probably.
I think he got a point out of that.
I
don't think he was looking, and Robbie Moore gave him the ball, and suddenly Rathgilly are onto it.
That's right. Yeah, they're just doing little things or little.
Yeah.
They swing the balance of the game, like, it's their tails are up, like, you know. But the thing with the short kick out is, if you're not ready for it,
that's what happens in
last
time.
Yeah.
Like, the game last night, Tinrelli get a Clamore get a ball, and the next minute the ball is kicked out, and he's in the back of the net again.
Yeah.
Game over. You know. So there we are. This is do you miss the county scene?
At times you would, you know, it's this time of year now that, you know, because when I played, kept you kicking, you know, through the winter and stuff like that, you know, and kept you focused. I go to some of the games, or I went to some of the games there this year in the championship, in the grounds there. I think it was Westmead, was it, they played?
In the Tasman Cup.
Yeah. And there's something, like, you know, I suppose I would have, if that was wrong when we had a good run there, like a couple, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I'd feel that Carlow would have won the Tarleton Cup.
Didn't Westmead win it this year? There's something there that we can't remember who exactly.
You'd like to say to yourself, wouldn't it be great to play in a championship that you feel you could win?
So you were for it?
Oh, definitely, because, like, you have to be realistic. Like, in the All-Ireland Series, Carlow are not going to, you know, compete for an All-Ireland Series or a Leinster final with Dublin.
A couple of matches.
You know, so it's, like, the championship, the big championship game is, like, when you go to it and watch it, you get that kind of, that buzz when you were playing. So, it's an incredibly long season, like, you know, it's... Yeah. The way it's gone now, I don't know if I'd be able for it's nearly 6-7 nights a week now, you know.
Okay. I'm going to tell you just, I'm going to throw a few questions at you here, kind of random questions. Shall we call it a time for confession? Was there ever a time will you put football first when possibly you shouldn't have?
Oh, probably all the time. I can't pinpoint one kind of situation where football came first.
I remember a situation years ago with my wife where we were up at it was her night out. It was a function up in Loud. I told her we had a rugby game in Wicklow on the following day. Now there was a big meal on the Sunday for everybody who attended. It was a junior chamber of commerce years and years ago. We were in early 20s. I wanted to play a match. So she decided she'd come down with me. We go down to the match, down to Wicklow. 10 minutes into the second half, I get sent off. So that's the sort of situation. That's where I'm coming from with that question. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time and making the wrong decision on the day. It wasn't even an important match. It was a Thurles rugby match.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from. Does that jog your memory at any stage?
Probably not along those lines, though. Because I don't know if it lasted too long if I'd done something like that.
Yeah, well, I suppose I wasn't married at the time, you know, but I was lucky maybe that I held on to her.
Yeah, yeah, and in fairness, the football is a huge commitment, like, and it does come first a lot of the time, you know, you know, your family is there, you know, day out when you're playing, you know, football, and they're there to support you and everything. So, yeah, you know, a lot has to be said about that. Like, you know, the patience they have for, you know.
I was going to, you got to match, but they do, they really do. The parents and the people who dedicate their lives to you from the time that you can play football.
Yeah.
When did you realise that what people were given to you so that you could play football? And I'm talking about not just parents, I'm talking about coaches, the clubs, everything. When was it apparent to you that?
It's just when you get older, like, you appreciate the things that people do, you know. Yeah. Like, when you're young, you just, you know, turn up to the field and you think you're just there to train, but you have to think about the lads that are there, you know, setting out before you're there and, you know, giving up their time and collecting cones and, you know, getting bibs ready and all that, you know what I mean? To respect that they're giving up their time to do that, like, you know what I mean? And it's just when you get older, you kind of see those things more, you know, when you go to the field and stuff like that, and you just have more respect for lads. But it's just when you're young, you're kind of...
You take it all for granted, don't you?
Exactly, yeah, you take everything for granted, yeah.
And you're... a young father now,
that's right,
obviously that's changed your life as well,
yeah? Oh, big time, yeah. Like, when a little one comes along, like Remy, she's 3 now, and it just, you know, football, you're so competitive when you're playing football, like, there's always something after football, you know, life after football or whatever, like, but, like, it definitely would, it's something that, you know, would change you, like, you know what I mean, and just be, make you more humble, like, you know, and not take things for granted anymore.
And has her arrival sort of made you think about your own football? If it's a fair answer,
really, like, you know, it just, you know, it wouldn't be something now that hasn't affected the football anyway.
And she's probably gone to a few of the games.
She goes to them all. She's been there for the later finds maybe the 3 in a row and the 4, she goes to them all, Nora there with her all the time, like.
Yeah, funny enough, with that question, I remember years and years ago, I remember Brendan Hayden Senior playing in a county semi-final, a county final, and I remember his mother, I'm fairly sure it was his mother, hopefully I'm not wrong, and she had brought Brendan Hayden Senior's mother, herself now, she had brought some of the lads, I don't know who they were, it could have been Joe, it could have been Brendan, it could have been the late Martin, it could have been Colin, but there was Brendan on the pitch and he waving to the children, and I thought it was a lovely moment. Now, he was in a Tipperary jersey, they ended up in their own jerseys, but it was a lovely moment.
Yeah, so it's great
that's where the question is coming from, you know.
Yeah, it's great when you have your family there, like, any time, you know, whether you win or lose or you draw, it's, you know, to see, you know, and see your family there, it's, you know, it's support, same as like my own partner Laura and Remy does be there, but even I know my own father goes to every single game, wouldn't miss one, like, you know, takes a defeat as hard as anybody, like, you know, and it's...
Yeah, and there's nothing like having your family with you on the pitch
when
you win, and it's nice to have someone when you have them all.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, it's, yeah. You know, the support is always there when you win or lose, like.
Yeah. Did you ever have a come to a situation, a crossroads in your life where you could have gone left, you could have gone right, and you had to make a decision, and even for good or for bad, whatever, was there ever a time you had to make a decision?
In terms of football now?
It could be your life, it could have been where you went to work, it could have been...
You have me now.
Yeah. I remember with my own situation, I remember I would have been a poor junior footballer, but Shock Stone, who was told Shock, I wanted to transfer and was going up to work in Newbridge. And he says to me, we're going to win the junior championship next year, we're going to win the junior league as well. I said, that's too far to come down. You know, it was in the 80s, too far to come down. And I went up and I played for Moorfield and I hardly got a game. And if I'd back been playing with Air Rogue, they won the junior and they won the league and they won the junior second year in a row as well. And I was always thinking, geez, I'm raging about that decision.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose just on that, like, when I was trying to break into the Air Rogue team, it was around 2006, I would say, something like 2005 or 2006. Like, you know, it was kind of...
Would
they truly
beat
Palisade in 2006, or 2007 and 2008?
Yeah,
I played in both of those finals. Come on, so, but it was, what I'm talking about is the previous years trying to break into the team was very difficult. Like, do you know what I mean? And that was probably a point where I was like, you know, you keep trying and knocking the door. Do you go this way or do you go that way? Like, you know, in terms of, you know, you're putting all the effort into this and you're not getting any reward out of it. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's something else, but stuck at it and kept going and kept going and finally got my break, and
the rest is history.
And there you go.
Any moment on the pitch that you wish had never happened?
Losing, not in a kind of embarrassing, but losing the Leinster final, you'd wish that hadn't happened, like, you know what I mean? But I can't say no.
There was no moment where you gave away a crazy goal or got sent off and cost the team.
Never been sent off.
Modern player, Benny, you're a modern player.
Never been sent off. I can't really say, you know, there was a period where, you know, I kind of let me, maybe, you know, giving a wet ball away or a missed tackle.
We all do that.
You know what I mean? That's part and parcel of the game, but nothing I could turn around and say, I really let, you know, my side down there. But
yeah. Well done. We're nearly finished there now, and I appreciate you taking the time to come over here. There's a perception among a certain amount, I'd say a sizable minority of Air Rogue people, that referees don't give Air Rogue a fair hearing or a fair crack at the whip, that if it's a 50-50 decision, Air Rogue, and Air Rogue don't get that decision. Is that something you'd share, or is it just something that happens with every team? Every support from every team.
I suppose when things are not going your way, you kind of, you know, people would tend to lean that way towards, you know, pointing the finger at the referee. But sometimes when, you know, some decisions they can swing a game, like, and not in your favour, like, but it's just when things are going against you and a little free or a little hand on the back and it looks to you as if there wasn't much in it, and they're giving a freeway right in front of the goal, and then you're attacking the other end, and the same thing is happening, and there's a stronger hand going on the back or a harder hit.
Yeah.
Then you feel aggrieved that, you know,
but it's not a consensus out there that, oh, Jamie, we get nothing off referees because we're so, you know.
I think a lot of teams think like that.
I think
a lot of teams would be like, they get hard done by when and things are not going their way, like, so.
Yeah. If I ask you who's going to win the championship now, we'll finish up with your future plans. Are you going to continue playing? What age are you?
36.
Yeah, you're going to keep playing. Are you likely to get into coaching?
Definitely going to keep playing anyway. You know, give it another couple of years or whatever, you know, see how the body is, you know, after this year, but definitely going back next year to play. Just felt like this season didn't really, you know, go well, and try and make the rounds right, I suppose, or but definitely going to keep going anyway, because, you know, we just to stay motivated, like, and push on and try and win a championship next year, you know, or whatever. But in terms of coaching, like, maybe when I'm finished playing football, I definitely would go into coaching and get involved in Air Oak. Like,
have I ever seen you on the first tee of the golf club?
I don't think so. I used to play a small bit years ago, but just too much time in it, and there was I'd rather put more time into playing football, and, you know, that was it. Like, it was just, in terms of sport, it was just number one, and that was it. But maybe when I finish up.
Yeah, Benny, look, it's great to think that we're going to see you on the football pitch for another couple of years, and thanks very much for coming on the
Cross the Four Lines podcast. Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you.